Our message is lost in church, and we've got to hasten on. Now, friends, one night we told you in a sermon out here that we have come to a time when there are more people on earth than ever before, above 4 billion. There are also more churches on earth than ever before, and that means more church members and more preachers and yet more wickedness than ever before. Just 20 years ago, indeed 15 years ago, you were not nervous walking the streets of your city, except maybe in certain rough areas. Just that many years ago, I used to take my wife and children for walks at night, go all through the parks with my family. We've come to a dangerous time. Not only a time of great crime, but a time of moral madness, where people are doing almost anything conceivable and receiving the hospitality of the pulpit in so doing. More churches, more church members, more religious people, and yet more wickedness. I'm going to explain to you why in a moment. I want to say right now, it's not enough to join the church. Amen. There is no salvation in having your name on the roll of a church. I don't care which church it is. Even if it's my church, there is no salvation in simply being a member. The important question in the words of the song is my name written there? Does God look at me and regard me as His servant, His child, and His faithful witness? Which means, have I been born again? Am I converted or am I just a nominal Christian, meaning one in name only? Now I want to explain to you why there is so much wickedness. At the same time, there are so many religious groups and so much preaching and so much television ministry. Matthew chapter 7, and we begin with verse 21. The Bible says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Now that's clear. Christ didn't sugarcoat it. He didn't beat around the bush. And by the way, Christ is my kind of preacher because he was dogmatic. I know that's a negative word anymore. I believe in being tactful, and I believe that if you love people, compassion will come through. But you gotta tell people straight. You're not anybody's friend when you sugarcoat and compromise. And Jesus didn't do that. He said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. It's not enough to call me Lord. You got to do something. Now, you're not saved by works, but as surely as you're born, if you let me save you, you will do right. And righteousness is right doing. And these are the words of Christ, beloved. He said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And the next verse, verse 22 says, many, how many? Many will say to me at that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? That's a preacher. And in your name cast out devils? That's a healer. And in your name do many wonderful works. Works of charity and philanthropy. Didn't we visit the sick and carry hot meals to the aged? Didn't we support the Red Cross, that is? And didn't we give money to the United Way? Didn't we do this and that and the other in your name? Then will I profess unto them, verse 23, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, folks, that's serious talk, and it's not mine, it's the Lord's. Would you say amen? I want to run through it one more time. Christ was getting fed up with religion full of abstractions, people talking one thing and living another. And on this occasion, he spoke to those who were religious leaders. He spoke to those who were church members. He spoke to those who took great pride in the fact that they belong to the central church. And Jesus said to them, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Not enough to offer a good prayer or a good testimony. Not enough to go around telling people you love me. For if you love me, do what? Not enough to go around using my name, crying, Lord, Lord, and making an impression on the public. For not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, who's going, Lord? Those that do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And in the final day, many will say to me, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? It's not even enough to preach the gospel, ladies and gentlemen. I am mindful of that every day. I recognize my desperate need every day. Because knowing what I know and having the privilege I have, if I am lost, woe unto me. And I wake up in the night saying, Lord, keep me. I don't want to set a high standard and then make a fool out of myself and discourage people who have dared look up to that standard by saying there's nothing to it. Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, preacher? And in your name cast out devils, healer. And in your name, didn't we do many wonderful works? Charity. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. I don't know you now. I didn't know you then. I knew about you. I knew you were putting up a front. I knew you were like the barren fig tree. I knew that. You see, the preacher didn't know, and the deacons didn't know, and your neighbors didn't know. But I knew about you. But to know you as my child, never. There has been no such relationship. But Lord, we preached, we gave away money, we gave away food. Doesn't matter. All of your works, your righteousness, but filthy rags. You can't work your way into the kingdom of God. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Please write down these texts. I got a lot of them. And I tell you what I'm going to promise you tonight. I'm going to keep watching my watch. And if I start going too far over, I'm just going to quit. Because wherever I quit, I will have said enough from the Word of God. Matthew 7, 13 and 14, Jesus said, enter ye in at the straight gate. What kind of gate? Have you ever looked that up in your Bible? Now, many of you think that means straight like a straight line. It doesn't mean that at all. That kind of straight is spelled S-T-R-A-I-G-H-T. But the straight in the Bible is spelled S-T-R-A-I-T. You ought to look that one up in the dictionary. It means austere, difficult. It means strict. And that's the word I want. What did I say? Jesus is saying, enter ye in at the strict gate. The strict gate. Well, what's a gate? When Jacob was fleeing from his brother Esau, he came to a place where he laid down in his exhaustion, fell asleep, and God gave him the vision of the ladder. You've read about that, haven't you? When Jacob awakened, he knew that God was in that place. And the Bible says he took the stone he'd used for a pillar, and he made of it the crown of an altar. And Jacob said, this is none other than the house of God and the gate to heaven. So the house of God and the gate to heaven are the church. Would you say amen out there? Now let's paraphrase the words of our Lord. Enter ye in at the straight, strict gate, church. And yet we quarrel with God. We want easy religion. We want to join the church. Oh yeah, we want to be in there. But we want a church where we can keep on doing what we've been doing. We want a church where we don't have to give up anything. We want a church where we can practice our filth with the approbation of the pulpit. We want a church where we can keep on drinking and keep on smoking and the pastor will join us in it. We want a church where he will say pleasant things and talk about politics and civil rights and will not read to us the straight message from the Word of God. We don't want our church that is too strict. And yet the Lord said, enter ye in at the strict gate, church. Why, Lord? Because wide is the gate. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many they be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads unto life. And few that there be that find it. We read that from the screen the other night, that latter part. And I told you that the way to heaven is straight and narrow. Oh, Christians, you shouldn't be surprised at that. What concept do you have of God? Do you see Him as a slipshod, haphazard God who winks and grins like something silly and indulges in a cocktail now and then Himself? Do you see the kind of God they make a caricature of in the movies? In green pastures? And in this thing George Burns played in? Read about it in a magazine. He was God. Is that the way you see God? Oh, beloved, our God is high and lifted up. Even the smallest sin is an offense to Him. Our God is the very personification and the ultimate in perfection and purity and holiness. Our God is so high and lifted up, so exalted in His estate, that the angels whom He has made, who have never sinned, approach His throne and fall down crying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." I read somewhere that the reason they cry holy three times is because the God of the Christian is three gods. Holy to the Father, holy to the Son, holy to the Holy Spirit. Would you say amen out there? They veil their faces in His presence, and yet we dare joke about God. We dare come into His presence with superb audacity, insulting God with our gifts and with our works as though that cleared the record. Go to the devil all week, just put in a big offering on Sunday. Ha! Now, beloved, I'm talking to myself tonight. And this is the truth as it comes from the Word of God. The way to hell is broad and easy. If you don't want to make any sacrifices, if you don't want to give up anything, you can find a church that'll let you do anything. They've even got homosexual churches now. They've got lesbian priests ordained in the ministry of what once used to be very sedate and staid churches. All you got to do is read the paper. You can do whatever you please. You want to gamble? They got churches where you can gamble every Tuesday night. But if you want to go to heaven, that's something else. And I tell you in the words of the spiritual, everybody talking about heaven ain't going there. Where'd you get that idea? Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, is going to heaven. Not everyone with his name on the church record is going to be there, beloved. I'm talking to you tonight with a burden on my heart, and I'm talking to you with a great deal of compassion. And I'm not saying anything to you that I don't say to myself every day. You can't fool around and do everything you are big enough to do and expect to please God. Those who are going to be God's special people are going to be peculiar. That doesn't mean queer. It means distinctive and distinguishable. You can't be ordinary and go to heaven. You've got to be extraordinarily holy, extraordinarily pure, extraordinarily careful in your life in order to please God. Now you say, but we're weak. Sure you are. He's strong. You say, we can't make it, but He can. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, I'll come in. And it is Christ in you, the hope of glory, said Paul in Colossians 1:27. And when the Holy Spirit comes inside of you, you can live right. You can gain the victory. If God can't give you the power to stop smoking, He ought to get off the throne, and we ought to close all these churches and go on to hell. For if God cannot give us victory over sin, then He's not what He says He is. But He won't force it on us. He said, if you be willing and obedient, you got to want it. Now, you don't have to put up the struggle you think you have to put up. One of the problems is that people are struggling, and they're struggling without the Lord. But when you follow the procedure that is suggested in the Bible, repentance and confession and conversion, then you got help. Remember when I was a little boy, we had chores to do on the farm. The other night I told you my brother was in the audience, 5 years older than I. He always was good to me. In fact, our family's very close. When I went away to college, you know, people were poor in those days. My brother sent me a check every month. Buy me suits and all that. I never forget it. As long as I live, he was that way, and he's always good and kind. But the thing I remember tonight is that when we were doing chores around our farm, and if there was a great big pail to carry, my brother would get a stick, and he would run it through the bale or the handle of the pail. And I'd get on one side and he on the other. But I noticed something as he would put that stick through there and we got ready to lift that heavy pail. He would always put more of the stick on my side. And my brother carried the short end of the stick. And when I finally caught on to what was happening, I asked him to let me see what it was all about. And when I tried to carry the short end, I couldn't even lift it. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ becomes your partner. He walks with you, and he talks with you, and he tells you that you are his own. And when you've got a heavy burden to bear, he takes the short end of the stick. He will not put more on you than you can carry. Would you say amen out there, beloved? This is the Christ we're talking about tonight. You don't have to live the way you live. You don't have to be a slave to a cigarette or to sin. Don't come telling me, oh, I wish I could quit. If you really wanted to, you could. There is power in the blood and power with our God. The problem is folk don't want to overcome. They want some kind of religion where they can have both ends of the stick at the same time. They want something where there is so much compromise, they can do what they always did and keep on going. Ladies and gentlemen, no discipline is required in some places who name the name of Christ or where they name the name of Christ. You can do whatever you want to. People are afraid to be different nowadays, and yet they still want to call him Lord. In Luke 6:26, if I were you, I'd write this one down. Jesus spoke in Luke 6:26, and he said, why call ye... No, that isn't what I want. Well, let me find this one and read it since I have it here in my notes. It says in Luke 6:46 these words. I've got it. This is what it says. Listen. Luke 6:46. Yeah, that is it. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Did you get that? And yet people are doing it all the time. And you listen to them talking, it sounds so good, doesn't it? I told you the other night that deception is the commingling of good and evil. And the devil has that advantage over Christ. Christ can only give us the truth. And the truth is so clear and so sharp sometimes it makes us squirm in our seats. But that's all the Lord has. The devil can take truth and error and mix them up and make it sound good. And that's deception. It's like pouring poison in a glass of grape juice. You think you're drinking grape juice when you're drinking damnation? Now the Lord comes straight ahead and he said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? You don't know what the word means. A Lord is someone who directs you, who gives you orders. A Lord is someone you're willing to obey. A Lord is a boss. You pardon these words. Christ said now, if you're going to call me Lord, the very calling of it suggests that you're going to take orders from me. Now, if you're not going to take orders from me, don't call me Lord. Amen. Now, beloved, listen to me. Sinners who hear that you are a Christian have a right to see a difference in you. Amen. They have that right. Otherwise, you got no business using the Lord's name. If you're going around making a profession and belonging to the church and everybody knows it, sinners have a right to see a difference in you. But not only that, you ought to be looking for a difference in yourself. If I gave my heart to the Lord and served him year after year, and I was no better off than when I first started, I would know something was wrong with me. Isn't that right? The Lord gave me two lovely children. When they were little babies, they couldn't even take care of themselves. Wife had to feed them, had to bathe them, had to even figure out what was bothering them when they cried. They couldn't eat. If the mother and father had left them alone, they would have died, helpless. But then they began to develop and grow. And after a while, they could get that old spoon and miss the mouth half the time, but they began to feed themselves. And then they kept on growing until they could do it very well and even very properly. You understand what I'm getting at? We call this maturing or developing. Now, if those children got to be 15 and 20 years old and still couldn't feed themselves, I would have an idiot on my hands. Isn't that right? Now, when you become a Christian, the Bible says you're a newborn babe. And the Lord says you're supposed to grow. And if you don't grow, you become a spiritual invalid. The world has a right to see a difference, but you ought to expect one yourselves. In Luke 9:23, the Lord said, if you're going to be my disciple, you got to deny yourself. You have to do what, beloved? That means you got to not do some things you really would like to do. Well, who are you that you got to be so special you can only do what you like to do? I'm a preacher, and there are things I think I'd like to do that at least the flesh would like to do, and I say, no, sir. Uh-uh. No, sir. I like Paul. Paul said, I'm going to keep my body under and bring it into subjection, lest while I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. What do you mean, Paul? Paul said, my brain controls my hands, and my hand's not going to do anything till my brain lets it. So since the Lord comes and lives in the heart, the brain, and if I let him stay up there and if I pray as I ought, my mind will keep my hand straight, and keep my eyes from gazing at every forbidden thing. It'll shut my ears to gossip and lies and dirty stories. Would you say amen? It'll keep my feet still when they're doing the hustle. Come on and say amen out there. Paul said, I'm not going to let this part of me rule that part. I'm going to let this part rule the rest of me. Otherwise, the flesh will run away with me and make a fool out of me. And I've gone around and through grace won people to Christ, and all of a sudden they'll see me going to hell, and it'll discourage the whole church. Paul said, I'm going to keep my body under and bring it into subjection, lest while I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Would you say amen out there, beloved? Now listen to me. Three young men graduated and went off to study to be ministers. I was one of them. We had been gone almost 2 years and hadn't seen each other. One night I was walking along a street in my hometown when a car pulled over to the side and I was delighted. I looked in and saw two buddies from high school. One was at John C. Smith and the other was at Clark's in Atlanta. In fact, he transferred from there to Yale, a very prominent gentleman now. These were buddies of mine, and they saw me, and they wanted to get together, three seminarians. Oh, man, I jumped in the back of the car with great anticipation. We're going to compare notes now. We're going to have a good conversation. Maybe we can discuss a bit of theology. Maybe they've been having a hard time in Greek, same as me. But when I got in the car, it wasn't 2 minutes before I realized that I was going to be a bore. The conversation wasn't the kind I could take part in. And we went on and on and on, and finally the car wheeled into a beverage store, and they got these six-packs cold and brought them out and tossed one in the back seat, and I thanked them and tossed it back. Now, I don't mind telling you, I was not ashamed of my position, but I felt embarrassed that I couldn't even talk and participate with two young men studying to be a minister. Finally, one of them got out and they left two, just us, and we had to talk. And then he said to me, Charles, I noticed you didn't take part. I said, no, friend, I couldn't. Well, he said, not only the beer, but you didn't even talk with us when we were conversing about the good times we're having. I said, but my friend, I'm studying the ministry, aren't you? Aren't you? Yes, he said. Why, our professors tell us that there are some things that a human can't help doing. And therefore, you shouldn't worry about it. Just do it and throw it out your mind. I said, but what does the Bible say? Oh, he said, Bible? We don't use any Bible where I go. I said, what do you study? And he started naming the great theologians and philosophers. And deep in my heart, I said, oh, my God, are these the people who are going out to a dying world and stand up to to represent you? Are we going to have more men saying there's some things you can't help doing? He said to me, a man can't help having women. Well, I believe he can. I can tell you experimentally, God can keep you if you want to be kept. And I'm a man. You're not looking at any sissy up here. When somebody, I don't care if he's the professor, when he starts telling you that you can't help doing wrong, that's the flesh talking. Spirit of God never told a preacher to say that. Let's say amen out there, beloved. Well, what does the Bible say? I'm going fast now. Write them down. Titus 2:11-12. God said you've got to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Would you say amen? Folks say, when the saints go marching in, I want to be in that number. I want to be a saint in heaven. Well, I got news for you, beloved. You're going to be a saint in Washington, or you're not going anywhere. Amen? People sing, I'm on my way to heaven anyhow. Do anything I'm big enough to do, but I'm on my way to heaven anyhow. Songs like that ought to be outlawed. Not going anywhere, no how. Without conversion and obedience and daily submission to the will of God, which brings sanctification through the imparted righteousness of Jesus Christ. Would you say amen, beloved? Now that's the way it is. Do you want me to tell you something other than the truth? You want me to sugarcoat something? Paul asked the Galatians, am I your enemy because I tell you the truth? I want y'all to be in heaven. And I want to be there. So God said in this present world, you've got to live soberly, righteously, and godly. Lord, but you don't know how rotten this world is. Oh, yes, I do. My son grew up in Nazareth. And Nazareth was a town that was notorious for its rascality. It was such a rotten corner of the world that when Jesus came preaching, Nathanael said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Jesus grew up in a town so rotten that he heard the cackling of profligates morning, noon, and night. He smelled the foul aroma of liquor. 24 hours a day, he heard the cursing of profane men. He saw the dancing in the streets. But he grew up so pure that one of the appellations by which he is known is Lily of the Valley. A lily in the valley grows in a swamp. The water is foul and the bugs crawl on the scum. But a lily comes up out of that and unfolds its petals so pure they look like white satin. Jesus, the lily of the valley, grew up in the filth. Noah was righteous in his generation. Lot was righteous in Sodom. Oh, yes, you can. By the power of God, not with willpower. Not with self-determination, not with behavior modification, but with the power of God, you can live right in Washington. You don't have to read what you read and go where you go and do what you do. Jude 24 says, now unto him that is able. He's what? I'm so glad to tell you tonight, our God is able. Now, I wouldn't want to serve a God who just tried. Our God is able. Been preaching for 27 years, and in that time, Lord's let me baptize folk from every range of life. I've baptized people I didn't even have any confidence in. I took their word when they said, I'm ready. And I've seen God transform them. Had a man over in Chester, Pennsylvania, baptized him. 6 months later, there was a knock at my door. I went and opened the door. A very handsome woman was standing out there, and she said, are you Reverend Brooks? That's what she called me. I said, I'm he. She said, I want to tell you something. You don't know me. She said, but I had to see the man that changed Mr. X. She said, I've known him for years. He gambled in my house. I knew how he talked and what he did and what he thought. And she said, in all the days of my life, I've never seen anybody change like that man. So even though you don't know me, I apologize for disturbing you, but I had to see the man that changed him. I said, lady, you've only made one mistake. There is no man alive who can change another man. The one who changed him is called King Jesus, and he can change you. He had to change me. Know what I'm talking about. And I want to tell you, do yourself a favor and stop deceiving yourselves by saying, I can't help it. Yes, you can. Don't tell me you can't quit. Oh, yes, you can. You don't have to pay any money. You don't have to sell your home. You don't have to do penance. You don't have to inflict wounds on yourself. All you got to do is surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a pleasant relationship. It's not a problem. It's a privilege. And when you let Christ come in, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let me break it down. Christ says you can't keep my law, but I tell you what. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you open up, I'll come in. And when I get in there, you know what I'll do? I'll keep the law. I'll do it. I'll do it. And then I'll give you credit for it in the books of heaven, so that when you come up in the judgment, you will be a victorious Christian, as though you never did wrong. I'll do it in you. That's grace. Let's say amen out there. James 4 and verse 7 says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Told you the other night, our problem is we don't resist because we like to see it. Oh, you're not kidding me. You do it because you like it. Not because you have to. Devil can't make you sin. You like it. Don't even blame it on him. Flip Wilson always talking about, devil made me do it. No, he didn't. He might suggest it. That's temptation. But you did it because you wanna. You like it. And most people don't quit because they like it. Instead of running from temptation, they crawl away hoping it'll catch them. Isaiah 1:16. Write them down, beloved. The Bible says, put away evil. Cease to do evil. Would you say amen out there? Hebrews 12:1 says, let us run the race. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Luke 13:24 says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. The strict church. Strive! That means you got to put forth some effort to serve God. Some of you out there hearing the word of the Lord, and you agree with it in your hearts, but you're thinking about little inconveniences that might occur if you do what the Lord says. You're already worrying about that. Well, let me tell you, God didn't make it too easy. Those who do things easy don't have any character. It's those who stand up against the forces of the devil who develop strength and character. Would you say amen out there? So the Lord says, if you want to come into the strict church, the straight gate, strive! Put forth some effort. Run and fight and wrestle. Let's say amen out there, beloved. That's what God suggests. Put forth some effort. Act like you mean it. Now come running with the help that you lack. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. He didn't say you must join the church. He said you must be born again. Beloved, it boils down to this. We've got to humble ourselves. And we've got to get right down to the business of a new beginning. It's called the new birth. And any mother in this room can tell you there is no birth without blood and pain. Would you say amen out there? Now, Christ has supplied the blood. And sometimes you have to bear a little pain. That's just a little testing so that you'll know you mean it when you do it. You got to be born again, born of the Word. Jesus said to Nicodemus, well, what's the word? It's the Bible, beloved. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And in Matthew chapter 15, there were some disciples who didn't wash their hands when they ate. And these Pharisees and folks came running to Jesus, and they said to him in verse 2, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. He answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandments of God by your tradition? Now, if Pastor Brooks ever tells you to keep the tradition of the elders in this church, if I were you, I'd run out of here and never come back. The Lord said, your traditions violate God's law. And down in verse 9, he said, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Would you say amen out there? And he declares, now my sheep know my voice. My sheep are going to hear, they're going to read, they're going to study, they're going to make a commitment. I got some sheep in Washington, Brooks. That's what the Lord told me. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be here. This is hard work. If you don't believe it, try it. And I'm not getting rich like these other fat cats talking about all these automobiles. I got one old 73 sitting out there. I'm here because God called me. Didn't even want to be a preacher. He called me and told me to do it. He said there are men and women everywhere throughout the breadth of the land who will do right when they know right. Somebody here is going to heaven. Am I right? Yes, sir, that's why we're here. Somebody wants to do God's will. And God says, now, since there are people like that, then you tell them what my will is and tell them straight. And don't worry about those squirming, bucking hypocrites, those goats who always butt. The sheep will hear my voice and follow me. Would you say amen again? Then you got to pray to live right. You got to pray without ceasing. I've been through this with you once, beloved. If you don't want to join a church and be lost anyhow, you'd better learn how to pray. You've got to have a speaking acquaintance with the Lord. Show me a backslider, I'll show you a man that's not praying. Show me somebody always stumbling and falling, I'll show you somebody that's not praying. Prayer is essential. Jesus said, pray without ceasing, because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. If you don't know the power of prayer, it's because you don't pray. Prayer has divided the sea, so that folks could walk over on dry land. Prayer has brought water out of a dry rock. Let's say amen out there. Prayer cooled off Nebuchadnezzar's fiery furnace. Prayer locked the lion's jaws in Persia so that they couldn't bite Daniel. Prayer stopped the sun and hung up the moon over the valley of Ajalon so that Joshua could get his work done. Prayer has opened prison gates. Prayer has conquered devils. Prayer has sobered up drunkards. Prayer has kept adulterers straight. Prayer has confounded atheists. Prayer has raised the dead and healed the sick. Prayer nauseated a whale and made him vomit up a hypocrite. Prayer is the life, blood, and lifeline of a Christian. When you pray, he said, I'll do something about it. Ask and you shall receive. Knock and it shall be open. You want a habit broken? Ask. I'll do it. Romans 8 and verse 21, the Bible says, the creature shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. And if you don't say amen, I don't know what's wrong with you. The Bible says the creature, that's us, shall be delivered from bondage, slave to sin, slaves to habit. You shall be delivered and set free. And then the Bible says, stand fast in the liberty wherewith God has set you free, and don't become entangled again with the yoke of bondage. My beloved, that is the will of God. That's the way it is. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Christ. Jesus doesn't just start out and then let you go. He'll take you all the way. Now I've got to quit this and go to the screen in a moment, even though I got some other good things to tell you. I'll come to them another time. But I want to demonstrate something now just as we are preparing to go to the screen. I want you to use your imaginations. I want you to imagine that this building is about to explode and kill everybody in it. Now, just imagine that. It's not going to happen. Just imagine that. Now, I want you to imagine that God spoke to you, and God said to you, that preacher up there can show you the way out. Just follow him. With all these lights on, you wouldn't have any trouble following me, would you? Would you? Now, you notice something is happening. The lights are going down. And yet, If God said, follow that man, he'll show you out, you could see me and follow me, couldn't you? Now let all the lights go except the spotlight. Ladies and gentlemen, you can still see me, can't you? And if I walk, let that light follow me. You know where I'm going because I'm in the light, right? Now would you cut out the spotlight? Just a little light up here now, isn't it? But you can still see me. And ladies and gentlemen, make no mistake about it. If your life depended on it, with just that much light, you could make it, couldn't you? Isn't that right? But now suppose that light went out. Now I know you have to have exit lights on, but I want you to imagine it's black dark in here, and this is all the light we got. Could you follow me? Can you see it? Could we get out of here? All you got to do is follow the light. But you say, preacher, I don't know everything yet. Do what you know. Walk in the light as you receive the light. And God will give you more light. Already out here, God has given you enough light to save you. But you got to walk in it. Some of you come out here just because you like to look at me. Like to hear me talk. Like to hear Walt sing. Ah, listen, I know you. You come out here because you like the way Shelton plays the piano. Or you like the question man, the way he talks. Oh, beloved, let's be serious. The man is not important. It could be John Doe. He could be tall or short, thin or fat. It's the message God is sending that brings light. Let's get that thing on now and let's finish up. There are people who want to do everything they please and still go to heaven. And they think it looks cute. I'd rather fight than switch. Well, I want to tell you something. 37 years ago, I stopped smoking. I know what food tastes like now. My teeth are bright. My breath doesn't smell foul. Got no cancer of the lung. Quit 37 years ago, and I'd rather fight than switch. Don't you know that today the real curse is smoking women, and babies are being born addicted to nicotine? Did you know that? It's a medical fact. Killing us! And then add to that the grosser evils. And we are headed to the hospital saying, where's God? Why did he do it? Did it to ourselves, beloved. Because we wouldn't follow his will. Wouldn't do what he said. And sin is progression of excesses. You go from cigarettes to grass. Little kids sitting around puffing on marijuana. A 9-year-old child had sold so much dope, he bought a limousine and hired a chauffeur. 9 years old in New York. It's not funny, is it? It is serious. It ought to make you cry. Beautiful young women have been thrown on the trash heap, not worth a dime mentally, morally, or physically, let alone spiritually. Ruined by drugs because somebody didn't show them a better way and show them that there is a God who can deliver. They're crying for help when they turn to this stuff. Many who go on them are looking for a little peace. Well, I tell you, there's a man called the Prince of Peace. Pastor Major said that happiness is obeying the Lord. Now, you folks who know that, say amen out there. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. And you can't do all of this stuff and serve God. You can't even do it and stay healthy. You can't do it without losing control. Now, if somebody's going to control me, I'd rather the Lord do it than the devil. You think the way of serving God is hard? There's some people the devil has told that. If you become a Christian, it's hard. Well, I want to tell you what Jesus said. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He said also, the way of the transgressor is hard. Talk to men who got paid on Friday and Monday morning couldn't even buy lunch, throwing it all away over the weekend. The way of the transgressor is hard. People trying to do all that and stay in. Then you got pride. Here's this woman with her shopping, her dinner guest list. She's going to invite the doctors and the lawyers and the teachers and the politicians and the judges and the rich folks, etc., and the poor whose bellies are growling for food, whose bodies are emaciated with starvation, who have to eat dog food to get protein. The poor are ignored. That's not God's way. And yet we think we can do all that and drop in enough money to make it anyhow. We want to give ourselves over to pleasure. Can't keep still. Can't have a moment of peace. Got to have the TV on all day. Ironing, washing, cooking. And all the while, got your mind on all my children. As the world turns. Edge of night. Husband comes home and you got salt in the punch and sugar in the potatoes. Mind's messed up. Want to read whatever you can read. Fill your mind with possum food and yet expect to have a pure mind. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart. Got to keep your mind clean. There's some things you can't read and look at. Oh, beloved, let's come home with it now. You got to get to know Jesus. Now, I didn't say it. He said it. If you're going to be my disciple, you got to take up your cross. Amen. You got to deny yourself. You're going to be my disciple, you got to be different. Some things have got to be crucified. Now, I want to tell you something. St. Paul was once named Saul. And as Saul, he was in the church, but he was against the Lord. He got converted on Damascus Road, and because of his righteous preaching, one day Nero had his head chopped off. But I want to tell you, it was not nearly so bad having his head chopped off as it was being crucified daily. Paul said, I die daily. It was harder for him to crucify Saul than it was for Nero to kill Paul. You understand what I'm talking about? Paul had some habits he had to put on the cross. Paul had some ideas he had to put on the cross. Had some opinions he had to nail to the cross. He squirmed and he kicked. But he said, I die daily. Crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I. But the life that I now live is Christ in me. That's the secret. Christ is everything. I asked the Lord when we started this meeting, I prayed to him in private and I said, help me to lift up Christ, because we don't stand a chance without him. He is the answer to all our questionings. Now there's that text we keep reading. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. And beloved, you got to get on one side or the other. You can't walk the fence into heaven. One sin can damn you. And me? Christ said, he that is not with me is against me. No neutral ground. You're committed to Christ or the devil. It's one way or the other. Bible says the carnal mind. Now, there's that word carnal from the Greek karnos. It means the mind of the flesh. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. That's why you can't make up your mind on your own to do it. You got to be converted. You got to have a new mind. You got to have a new heart, and only Christ can do that. A lot of rules and regulations can't affect that. Christ has to start there. And when he gives you that new heart, he then writes the rules on your heart. He said, the new covenant is my law written on the heart. Would you say amen out there? So don't sit back dreading the Sabbath. That's not your problem. Your problem is to make a commitment to Christ and to be converted. Then you will find out what I know and what hundreds know in this auditorium, that you can hardly wait from one week to another for the Sabbath to come. No problem, it's a privilege, it's a blessing. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. There's the answer, you've got to be born again. Jesus said that to Nicodemus. Now, if you claim to be born again, the Bible says in 1 John 2:6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Now, that's logical, isn't it, beloved? Now, with your wildest stretch of your imagination, can you imagine Christ with a cigar hanging out of his mouth? or snuff dripping down his lip, or sitting in a bar, or doing the bump in a disco? Can you? Even the idea touches on the edge of blasphemy. And we're supposed to be like Jesus. Walk as he walked. Well, how did he walk? He said he obeyed. He kept the Sabbath, Luke 4:16. And he was meek, and he was kind, and he was humble. We need to be like Jesus. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. That means you're going to join church. You can't walk by yourself if you walk as Christ walked. You'll have fellowship around the circle of the earth, wherever the sun shines. My brothers and my sisters, down in South America, up in the Altiplano where trees don't even grow. You can stand on a mud fence and see for miles. Stop the car and get out. Dirt roads up there. My guide said to me, Pastor, every white building you see is one of your churches. I said, I want to visit one. He said, we've arranged it. Drove back in the hinterland. When they saw me coming, they started ringing the bell, church bell. And out of the villages came these people dressed in strange clothes. Didn't look like me, didn't talk like me. Couldn't understand a word that I said. But they were looking for a preacher from headquarters. And when they came to me, threw their arms around me. Mine around them. I had found the people of God, and I'd found my people. And I found people who don't eat pork. Way down there, up in the Altiplano, I found people who don't touch liquor. I found people who don't smoke cigarettes. I found people who keep the commandments of God. I found people who love the Lord. It's a great fellowship around the world. And if we walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another. You join a family. You're not by yourself. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now here it is. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Iniquity is deliberate sin. It's doing wrong after the light comes. Would you say amen, beloved? It's stopping your ears to the word of God. The Bible says if you turn away your ear from hearing the law, even your prayer is an abomination. The Bible says that. Now let's go on quickly. People who turn from the light and yet belong to the church and think they're going to heaven? Uh-uh. In church? Lost. Even in my church? Lost. Because they won't walk in the light that God gives. Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot. Dogmatic, clear, unequivocating statements. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. Talking about giving up friends? Talking about giving up position? Maybe. Most folk don't even have to give up anything. I've even had people come to me boasting, well, you know I wouldn't mind doing it, but I can't give up cigarettes. You're not giving up anything. Except foul breath and stained teeth and lung cancer. When you give up liquor, what have you given up? Except wasted money and wasted life. And hurt wives and children. Amen. You give up sex, what have you given up? Illicit sex. Except reproach and the possibility of illegitimate pregnancy. And venereal disease, which is on the rampage in America. Got to give it up. And Jesus said, if you're not willing to forsake all, you can't be my disciple. Oh, but Lord, it seems hard. My grace is sufficient for thee. Come on, say amen. I'm not asking you to do this on your own. I know you're weak. All I ask you to do is to be willing. And then ask me. I'll take care of it. I'm able to keep you from falling. I can handle your problem. I'm a greater Savior than you are a sinner. Oh, but Lord, I've been in the red for so long. I've been doing wrong for so long. Doesn't matter. I can save to the uttermost. I save people who have been sinners for 80 years. Baptized a woman who had been walking in sin for 75 years myself. Today in my slides had a picture of a woman in Brazil in a little town called Belo Horizonte. She came up to me and she spoke to me in Portuguese and my interpreter told me what she said. She said, I am 100 years old, baptized today, and I feel like I was just born. Let's say amen out there. He that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. That's the Bible. And those who don't overcome, even though they belong to the church, are going to end up there. And the Bible says this whole world will become a seething, boiling inferno, a lake of fire and brimstone. You don't want to end up there, but I'm not trying to frighten you because you can't go to heaven because you're scared. What I'm asking you to do is choose a better life. Even if there were no heaven and hell, the best life is a Christian life. My good friend, Pastor Reeves, used to say, even if there were no heaven, I'd still want to be a member of the church and live a good, clean life, ladies and gentlemen, because it's a life of peace, a life of happiness, a life of respect, a life of enjoyment and pleasure in the home. Would you say amen out there? I'm asking you to make Jesus the king of your life. And as surely as you do it, this King, who is Lord, will lead you home to glory. You don't have to struggle and fight and worry about how you're going to make it. Just surrender to the King and follow Him. And He'll walk with you. And He'll talk with you. And He'll tell you you are His own and the joy you share as you tarry there. None other has ever known. You know, I want to make a testimony in closing now. I've been a sinner, and I've made a surrender. And everything that's precious to me has come since I gave my heart to the Lord. Yes, sir. I don't have all the money I might have made, but I got enough. Don't have to beg. He supplies my needs. You hear me talk about my wife a lot. Really, I'm not trying to be sticky about it. It just sort of happens. But if I hadn't been a Christian, I wouldn't have had her. First place, I wouldn't have seen her. Second place, she wouldn't marry anybody who wasn't a Christian. Everything that I am deeply pleased with in my existence is a result of a surrender to Christ. And it's a consummate joy to walk with Him. The only time I feel dread is when I've stepped outside the path of strict integrity. The closer I stay to the Lord, the better I feel. And the better I sleep. The happier I am, and it's no secret what God can do. What He's done for me, He'll do for you. Just let Him. Just let Him. Now, I've got a serious appeal tonight. I don't believe anybody here wants to go to hell. Am I right? I don't believe you're coming out here night after night just to be entertained. Am I right? You come out here to learn what God says so that you can pray to Him and conform to His will. Is that what you come for? Say amen. Now I'm going to pray for those who really mean that. It's time to close. I got 1 minute. So if you really mean it, I want you to stand up quick. Bow your head. And let's talk to a God who can change us. Who can give us peace and joy. Let's talk to a God who would rather save than do anything else. Let's talk to a God who's more interested in saving you than you are in being saved. Let's talk to a God who will take all kinds of sorry people and love them and make something out of them. Oh, blessed Lord, we thank Thee for this privilege of prayer. Thy word has been plain and clear. And sometimes, Lord, because we've not been taught and because we've been led so far from Your standard, Your word seems almost strange to us. If we didn't see it in our own Bibles, we couldn't believe it. And yet it's been in those Bibles for years and years and years. It's not Your fault that men haven't taught it and men haven't read it. It's our fault. And now that You're bringing it to us, Lord, please listen to me tonight in mercy. My request is that You'd simply give us tender hearts. I'm not asking these people to believe any word of mine, just Your word. They don't have to believe me. But Lord, if we don't believe You, we're lost. So I'm asking You to give us tender hearts. Make us vulnerable to the Spirit's appeal. Some are so recalcitrant in their evil that they are impervious to Your voice. Oh, Lord, tonight, break through. Break through in mercy. Because I want Your people saved. And You want them saved. Please, Lord, have mercy. Mercy. We plead for mercy. Not justice, but mercy. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Some of us are so bound by these habits that we can hardly believe you can set us free. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Some of us don't have any peace in our lives. We have money, but we don't have peace. We got nice houses, but we don't have peace. We got beautiful homes, but we don't have peace. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Come near to these people tonight. I'm praying for them because you've put them on my heart. And I'm praying for them. And I ask you to be close to us. And as we go home and rest on our pillows, may angels guard our sleep. But may the Holy Ghost speak to our minds. Don't let us rest until we have cried out, have mercy upon us, O Lord. This is my humble prayer. And I don't even know how to pray as I ought. Let the Holy Ghost make intercession for us. Only save us from ourselves, from the flesh and the devil, in the name of Jesus. There is hope for you. To Christ your weakness tell. There is hope for you. He'll all your passions quell. There is hope for you. But the easy way goes to hell. There is hope in Christ for you. There is hope for you. He came to save the lost. There is hope, therefore. He paid an awful cost. There is hope, I say. He saves to the uttermost. There is hope in Jesus for you. And now may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. May you have a good night's rest and may angels keep you all day tomorrow and tomorrow night. Our subject is Bible baptism. We will answer your questions with Scripture. Don't let anything keep you from this place as we march on with the Lord. Oh, Jesus, bring us back then, we humbly pray in your name. Let everyone say amen. And God bless you, beloved. Be careful now going home. Be careful, and we'll see you tomorrow night.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.